Blog Talk Radio.
Mighty Grill, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you are now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, tonight we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. We'll be bringing forth God's word on tonight. Once again, he's going to be doing part two of Move Your Dusty Self Out of the Way. So we're going to be hearing part two. So he always shares with us inspirational poems first. So I'm praying that all listeners have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so you can follow along as he get ready to deliver this awesome, powerful part two of his message on tonight. We always start off with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight. I'm asking all the listeners, if you would please touch and agree with me as we go to God's throne together on tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come as your children, touching and agreeing that you are God alone, and you are worthy of our praise. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, you're still worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We thank you that you are in total control at all times. Now, Heavenly Father, we come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox, and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. Even for those of us that are saved in Jesus' name, we do falter and we do sin. So that's why we are so grateful on tonight that we have a Savior, a risen Savior, that we can come through your Son, Jesus Christ, and ask for forgiveness of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. Now, Heavenly Father, we come asking that you move by your Spirit on tonight. Continue to touch, heal, and deliver and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies all over the land. You know who they are and you know where they are. We don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. So we ask that you will touch, heal, and deliver as only you can for your glory in the name of Jesus. We also lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. Comfort them and strengthen them. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your presence, even as they go through that hour of bereavement on tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that your word will go forth with power on tonight through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. Should there be any listener on tonight, whether they're on the line or whether they're listening by social media platforms all over the world, that they, as they hear your word on tonight, that they will be able to receive your word in their heart. And those that are not saved will be able to open their own mouths and confess their sins and transgressions and ask Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and save them on tonight, that you will get the glory, and that once they are saved, you will reveal to them and show them what their God purpose is, so that they will be, that they will be able to fulfill it in the earth for your glory. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you help us to decrease so that you may increase in each one of us, that we may be faithful doers of your word, not just hearers only. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry and platform, even to those that are tuning in for the first time on tonight, that may be listening to our social media platforms on tonight for the first time. Bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we do have another spiritual food for thought. And it comes to a saying on tonight. The best and the most beautiful things in this life cannot be seen or touched. They must be felt by the heart. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. The best and the most beautiful things in this life cannot be seen or touched. They must be felt by the heart. And this is a quote coming to us by Sister Helen Keller. In the form of announcements, I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/serviceambassadorsvessel. You can go to their website and please click on follow the prompts as they lead you and guide you to the location where it says follow. And then once you get to that location, please click on follow. Excuse me, I know that you all are listeners, but I would like for you to become followers as well. I'm asking all listeners, you can always email me at all lowercase. James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And please make note that I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. I'm asking our listeners to you to please keep my younger sister, Nana Barney, and her husband, Roger Barney, his brother, James, and his wife, Lisa Ann, keep them in your prayers as they are driving and traveling down to Mississippi on tonight, this afternoon. So I'm praying to be have traveling grace, that the Lord would extend his traveling grace to them when they arrive in Mississippi safely. We get ready to go through our music break. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to give the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to go directly into God's Word, part two of his message on tonight from last Saturday night's platform. Please, again, know that I will be opening up the phone line after he has concluded with tonight's message. So if there's anyone that would have any questions for him pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you will have an opportunity to do so after he concludes with tonight's message. So right now we're going to go to our music break. Cover me, Lord. Thank you that the blood of Jesus still works, and we know that The Lord promised us that once we're saved in his name, in the name of Jesus, that we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and nothing and no one can pluck us out of his hands. So that's why I'm praying on tonight. While the music breaks on, cover me, Lord. Enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. Cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy breath. Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me with thy spirit. Oh, cover me with thy presence. Hey, oh, cover me. If you cover me, I'll be protected. If you cover me, I'll be shielded. Oh, cover me. I don't want to be exposed anymore. Cover me. Oh, cover me. Under shadow of the Almighty, I need to be covered today. Oh, cover me. Oh. With thy breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My soul says yes. Yes. Come on, lift your voice and say it. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Sing this. Cover me. Come on, sing that with me. Oh, cover me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, cover me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cover me.
Yes, it's a good thing to know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus on tonight. Well, right now we're going to yield the mic to none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to do part two of his message from last Saturday night. So I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along. But as he always does, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem first. Then he's going to go directly to God's word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown. I thank God once again for this golden opportunity that he has given me. It's truly a blessing to be in a position to bring forth God's word. I'd like to say a prayer. Gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, my Father, I thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word. My Father, may my words which are coming through you, my Father, be acceptable not only to you, my Father, but be receivable unto those that have tuned in this evening. My Father, we ask these and all blessings in your Son Jesus' name. In his name we do pray. Amen. I won't tarry for you long, but Amen. The Lord gave me a doozy of a poem tonight to share with his people. And it's called "Don't Blame It on Me." Satan sat in the back of the church, and he was crying. He said, "I'm tired of all of these Christian folks who keep lying. They keep doing sinful things and then blame it on me. They're testifying before the congregation that the devil is busy. I have to admit that I'm full of deceit, but I don't have no arms, no legs, no hands, or no feet. I don't own a gun. I don't even have a knife. And I can't make a man cheat on his wife. All I have is a persuasive voice, but people blame me when they make the wrong choice." The devil stopped grinning, and then he started to laugh. He said, He said, "I pray," which is P-R-E-Y, "on the lust and passion of women and men." Then he turned around and said that it's unfair. I just tell them about things that are already there. And for their sinful actions, guess who they blame? Remember, cheerleader never won any ball game. Then Satan stopped grinning and he started to laugh. He said, "Many people will be the recipients of God's wrath. In hell, I will have plenty of company from people who sinned and blame it on me. Sick into that same lie when they eagerly jump to it. They say I was confused at that time, but the devil made me do it. Those last few words are music to my ears and will cause many Christians to shed many tears. Some of you still have a chance if you were to repent and turn away from those things that will cause you to burn. I'm a worldwide scapegoat, as you can plainly see. Take responsibility for your actions and stop blaming them on me." All right, we'll immediately go into tonight's lesson. It's part two from last week. And the scriptures that was read was Psalms, the first number of Psalms, verse number one. And then I went over to Genesis, and I read that. Then I'm going to add a third scripture, but it reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight..." Okay, amen. Now I'm going over to... That was Psalms 1 and 1. Now I'm going over to Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse, and to read, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Now the third scripture that I will read to you tonight to complete the thought for today, and that is Romans 12 and 2. And it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, our topic for this week, same as it was for last week, is move your dusty self out of the way. Now, we had to go to Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse, because some people may have thought that there was a harsh statement that was being made by the deacon. But in Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse, God tells us that we were formed out of the dust of the ground. And last week we talked about all the elements in the body. We talked about mercury. We talked about iron. We talked about zinc. We talked about all of these things. And going back to Psalms number 1, it says, blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners, that does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Because, see, we have some problems here that if we're not careful, we will become a hindrance to people. And the Lord allowed me to talk about, or not necessarily talk about, but to mention a few people that we were causing distractions. And our thought for tonight is not only move your dusty self out of the way, but our third topic for tonight is do not allow distractions to make you miss out. And that's coming from Romans, the 12th chapter, the 2nd verse, which is telling us that be ye not conformed. So in other words, don't let the world distract you with the things that they're doing. And at that particular time, Paul, he was writing to the Romans, and the Romans was doing every ungodly thing that you could imagine. But Paul was reminded of Christians during that time, because it's a saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But if you're a Christian, when you're in Rome, you cannot do as the Romans do. Paul was telling them, don't let these distractions cause you to miss out. Now, what we did, we talked about several things, and we're going to talk about the first distraction tonight, whereas we should have moved our dusty self out of the way. Now, the first distraction that comes to my mind is the distraction that the serpent brought about to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He moved like no other creature moved. He spoke as no other creature spoke. It says in the Bible that he moved very subtle, that it was more subtle than anything. And you know, something that's subtle, it sneaks up on you. It don't come on you real strong, because if it come on you real strong, then you could build up a defense for that. You can dig in your heels for that. But something that sneaks up on you like it's something that you don't expect. But see, I want you to know that distractions are dangerous. Distractions will cause you to miss out. Distractions can cause you to lose your life. And so to bring people up to date that may not have heard the program from last week, okay, today we started with Eve, but we started at the head of the church, which is the preacher. Because whether we know it or not, each and every last one of us have been a distraction to somebody else. Each and every last one of us have allowed people to scapegoat us and use us as a reason not to come into the house of prayer. Now, we talked about the preachers, and I lost a lot of friends last week, but then we back friends again, because sometimes when people tell you about yourself, it's kind of hard to digest that. But nonetheless, we talked about that preacher, how the preacher, we said, move yourself out the way, preacher. Sometimes the preacher, and here I go again. See, sometimes the preacher is not preaching at your heart, but he's preaching at your pocketbook. So we have to be careful, preacher. Move yourself out the way, because God's word says, freely I give to thee, freely I give to you, freely you give to them. So in a sense, the preacher is at the mercy of his congregation. And if they love him, they're going to take care of him. But he should not be soliciting funds for his own benefit. Then we went on down to that deacon. And see, these are distractions that we do, but a lot of times we are not truly aware of these distractions. We talked about that deacon, about how he's trying to keep up with the preacher, and so his behavior is causing a distraction to God's people. Then we talked about the old lady and her behavior, how she thinks she's a young lady. Then we went over there to talk about parents over in Proverbs when it said to train up a child in the way in which that child should go. When they're older, it would not depart from it. So we discovered that sometimes parents can be a distraction to their children. Why? Because sometimes parents do hypocritical things. They say one thing but expect you to do another. But then over there in Ephesians, it tells us and tell the father, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not do things that is going to bring about a curiosity as to if cigarette smoking haven't killed you and you've been smoking for 50 years, why did you say it's going to kill me? We're not supposed to allow these things to happen. But see, we also discovered that if you don't want your children to do certain things, don't do it in front of them. Don't do it around them. So sometimes we as parents can become a distraction. We have to move ourselves out of the way. And then we discovered also that a dress code in the church to say that women should dress modestly, but the men also. But see, we have turned us house of prayer, we have turned funerals and holy events into fashion shows. We talked about that old lady once again that comes into the house of prayer with the big hat on, and she's just like King Uzziah and Isaiah, who got that big hat, and she's blocking people from seeing the Lord. She could wear a smaller hat, but she's known for those hats. And by being known for those hats, she's going to get more and more and more flamboyant about those things. Old lady, mother, move yourself out the way. Then we went over here to the eldest boy, the prodigal son's eldest brother, and we compared him to how when a brother or sister goes out there into the world and they come back weary, wounded and sad. But see, this brother, he didn't have nothing but negative things to say about his brother. Even though the young man was distracted, he come to the realization. So the old elder boy, he didn't have nothing but negative things to say about him. He addressed the father, said, you mean to tell me you're going to let him come back here? So this is how we do when the preacher runs to meet a member that has been backsliding, that come to the realization that the house of prayer is the place for them to be. We should all have a welcoming committee and be glad to see that individual. Why? Because the Bible says that heaven rejoices over one that repents than 99 just that needs no repentance. Then we moved on to, Galatians, the 6th chapter, the first verse. It would say that if a brother or a sister, I'm just adding that sister, but we know brothers and sisters also, if they overcome in a fault, we're supposed to restore them gently. We're supposed to have compassion on them. We're not supposed to be murmuring and whispering in the background, oh, they going back out there. We're not supposed to have that kind of jealousy in our heart and get them that old famous two finger, that thumb and that index finger handshake. So we have to try to avoid that. And then we know that Jonah was a distraction because the Lord told him, God told him go one way, and he went another way. He did what he wanted to do. We know that Isaiah and Uzziah, that Uzziah was a distraction unto Isaiah. Why? Because Isaiah could not see the Lord until the king was removed out of his way. We also discovered that sometimes people have to be removed out of your way, or this is why the topic came in, move yourself out the way. You dust yourself out the way. But sometimes, as I say, we become a distraction. We're not aware that we're distracting people. So we have to give it careful thought, whatever we do and whatever we say to people. And then we also learned that going back to Psalms number 1, say that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So Brother Amos, he gave us a scripture that we could use to say, and this was concerning the husband and wife, and it was saying, how could we walk together except for we in agreement? Now, we might run together. We might run, but a lot of us is running for different reasons. But when we walk together, we are walking together in unison. So move yourself out the way. And so there are several other, the virgins, they were distracted. Five foolish, they were distracted. They knew that the time would come for them to be invited into the feast, but they did not make the preparations that was necessary for them to go into the feast. So, as we're saying, this was just letting each and every last one of us know of the role that sometimes that we play in distracting other people, the role that we are preventing people, because God's word said, let no one separate you from the love of God. But see, now we're going to go into distractions. And we know what is a distraction. A distraction is something that directs your attention from one thing to another. Now, this distraction that we're talking about is Satan. He don't want you to concentrate on the Lord, and he's going to do everything that he can to prevent you from seeing the Lord, from being with the Lord. So he's going to throw all types of distractions in your way. And I'm going to give you a list of distractions as well as scriptures to back me up. Now, 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the 35th verse, I am saying this for your health, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. And see, I'm reading it in a different form because there are a lot of publications that bring forth God's word, but see, I'm trying to bring it forth in the simplest form that I can. So God's word is letting us know, don't let these distractions cause you to miss out. Now, we're going to go over to Mark 4th chapter, the 19th verse, and it says, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. What is that saying to me, Deacon? It's telling you as well as myself, mainly me, that I have to concentrate on what the Lord is telling me. I have to concentrate in such a way that it does not prevent me from seeing the Lord. All right, now we're going to go to some worldly distractions. Okay, we know that opioids are distractions. We know that alcohol is a distraction. And see, alcohol is one of the biggest distractions that you could ever have, because it slurs your speech as well as boggles your mind. And to give you a good example, with this young man, and we know that distracted driving and drunk driving is probably one of the killers that's on our street. Now, with this young man distracted so much, and I know that we hear frequently, I seen on the news the other day about a wrong-way driver and the state trooper pulled her car in the way of this wrong-way driver, because that driver was headed for some people, probably would have done a lot of harm to that crowd. So this drunk man is driving, and he's going the wrong way, and we talked about last week about the sarcasm of police. And so the police managed to pull this drunk driver over, going the wrong way. So they asked him, "Sir, where are you going?" He said, "Well, I was going to a feast over to Brother Brown's house, but it looked like everybody's on the way back." So sometimes we get our thoughts distorted to the point that we think wrong is right and right is wrong. So I use that as an example because we lose our evaluation of what is wrong and what is right. So we know that God's word says, let the wheat and the tare grow together, and in my heart, I'll do the separating. So sometimes, though, you might have wheat here, but you might have a crack house, you might have a drug house, you might have a person that's mistreating his wife next door. But God's word is saying that, you know, these things must cohabitate together, and in his harvest, he will do the separating. So, as I was saying last week, we were the distraction. We were the dusty people that were standing in the way, that were preventing people from seeing the Lord, that was causing a ruckus. But see, today is my duty and my obligation to tell you about the distractions that we're not aware of, the distractions that can cause us to miss out. Now, we know that Romans 12 and 2 tells us about being distracted from God's word. So we must stay focused on God's word. And see, when you focus on something, you get that laser focus. Then we say that the word is that don't let nothing separate you from the love of God. So in other words, I'm not supposed to let, because it's my granddaughter's birthday, her 10th birthday, and she's having a party, and she asked me to come. I'm not supposed to allow that to make me miss out on this assignment that I have, that I'm going to speak in the church, bring forth some wholesome words. I'm not supposed to allow that to distract me from what it is that the Lord will have me to do. Now, we're going to go over here to Peter. Now, Peter, and this is probably one of the most familiar scriptures, Peter and some of the disciples were in the boat, and they had been praying and feeding people all day. But then the Lord said, "Y'all, I'm just paraphrasing, y'all go ahead. I'll catch up with y'all." And so they were half asleep, probably fatigued. And then they looked out on the water, and at first they thought it was a ghost. But then they recognized the Lord as he come closer, walking on the water. So Peter had an invitation to walk on the water, but he was unsure of himself. But the Lord said one simple word. He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, and he began to walk. But the word said it was a boisterous wind, a boisterous noise in the background. So I'm just imagining that it probably was an Earth, Wind, and Fire concert in the background playing one of Peter's favorite songs, Let's Groove Tonight. But the minute Peter took his mind and his focus off of the Lord, guess what? He started to sink. Then he cried out. He said, Lord, save me. So in the twinkling of an eye, you could be cruising along, but before you know it, when you lose your focus, you could sink. When you're distracted driving, in a few seconds, you could go from being safe to being a fatality. And see, we know that technology nowadays is a distraction. And we own our telephones and our tablets and our computers all day long. And then at the end of the day, we think we fulfill our obligation by bringing forth a 20-second prayer. Ain't that something? We get on our tablets, and, you know, with the music or whatever, the games, Facebook or whatever it is. But then at the end of the day, we give thanks to the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. I, you know, definitely appreciate it and everything. 20 to 30 seconds, no more than a minute, but all day long. But see, God says that he's a, in Exodus, that he's a jealous God.
Well,
now,
yes.
Prosperity can distract you. How many people do you know that they become prosperous and they forget all about God? They stop going to church. They, you know, get to partying and vacationing and everything. So we're going to go over here to Exodus over in the 20th chapter. Sometimes other people's prosperity can distract you because the temptation, they had a song about don't let the Joneses get you down. And it just so happened that I lived next to some Joneses, and the Joneses, they were really prosperous. Mr. Jones was a hard-working man. He, you know, it wasn't nothing that he wanted that he couldn't get. So the wife and I, you know, we began to look at that, but we never let it bother us. It says, people take my advice and let the Joneses be. And over there in Exodus, it said the Joneses have been the downfall of many people you see. People take my advice and let the Joneses be. Trying to keep up with the Joneses will make your life a mess. Bill collectors, tranquilizers from getting deeper in debt. So when the Joneses is blessed by something, just be happy for them. Don't go out there and try to duplicate what they're doing. Because God's word says, thou should not covet thy neighbor's house, his wife, and all those things that are your neighbor's. So when we begin to covet these things, we lose our evaluation. We lose our appreciation of what God has done for us. So we have to be extra careful when these distractions come. Sometimes our own, as I say, our own prosperity will get in the way of us serving the Lord. Sometimes our problems will cause the distraction. We say our health issues can cause a distraction because, as I was saying to you, distraction is something that directs your attention from one thing to another. Because I remember many times that, you know, nowadays people don't go to church because they got a hangnail or they got a headache. But when you were at that cabaret, you had somebody had, you went, but somebody had to bring your head to the cabaret in a wheelbarrow, but you paid your money so you wouldn't go miss out on that. So I'm just saying, why do we allow ourselves to use these convenient excuses and these distractions from serving the Lord?
Amen.
Okay, now we're gonna move right along. Embarrassment can cause a distraction. Why? Because I'm so embarrassed, but see, that's when that pride comes in. That pride say, you can't go back there. Church hurt can cause a distraction in your life to the point you say, oh, I can't face the people. I can't take it. But see, it's best to be worried about God, how God feel about something than about how somebody else might feel. Because you're never going to please the flesh. We got to stay focused on the Lord. And sometimes these things are going to come and they're going to get in your way. They're going to cause you to be distracted. But see, you could be distracted, but don't be distressed. And as I was saying, there's so many invisible distractions out there that you got to put on your whole armor of God. Don't get caught out there naked, half naked on the battlefield. You got to wear that whole armor. Why? Because it's for your protection. That demon is going to attack you wherever he feels that is weak, wherever he feels that you're weak. And see, if you know anything about a gutter, sometimes your gutter could be leaking in the front, but then it does not come out until it reaches your kitchen. See, this is known as going to travel down the path of least resistance, which means that if you fortify in this area, then he's going to choose one of your children or somebody that's close to you to attack you. Because see, he know that you're not going to allow him to do that. And see, if you look at the example, I know here in Detroit, the muggers and the gangsters, they got kind of slick. They knew that the people had alarms on the doors. The merchants had alarms on their doors and on their windows. So guess what they start doing? They start coming through the walls, taking trucks and backing their trucks into the walls and coming through the ceiling. Because why? That was the path of least resistance. And this is how that demon tries to, how Satan tries his best to attack us. He's coming down that area that you least expect. And see, it's very dangerous for us to take our focus off of the Lord. And so as we begin to progress in the Lord, and we begin to understand, we realize, or we should realize, that the closer that we get to the Lord, the more opposition that we're going to run to, the more resistance. Because see, if Satan already got your attention, then he already got you. But if he don't have your attention, he's going to do something to take your attention away. We talked about also a few days ago about how a preacher was distracted. That poor preacher didn't have a chance. And I'm not going to mention his name. I'm not going to mention his congregation. I'm not going to even mention the situation. But I'm going to give you an example. Now, the preacher, he had a big funeral to preach. And one of the people that were to speak or to sing came in there, I would say, indecently dressed. They might have thought that they were dressed right. And so it distracted that particular preacher from what it was that he should do. And so it became obvious to the world that preacher is being distracted. It become obvious that he had lost temporarily his concentration. So distractions will cause you to lose your concentration. Distractions will cause you to miss out. Distractions can be deadly, because we know that nowadays with distracted driving, because the technology, because the telephones, because people talking and texting and everything, and even walking and texting and walking into polls and everything. So we allow these things to occupy our mind to the extent that it takes our focus off of Jesus. So we have to continue to have our focus on Jesus. We can't be like those five virgins. We can't be like Moses. We can't be like that eldest boy. We cannot allow ourselves to be used, but on the same token, we cannot allow these distractions. And see, a distraction is not a distraction until you know that you're being distracted. So anything out of the normal, sometimes we don't, you know, and I want to throw this in right fast. Back in the 70s, plenty of people burnt houses down to the ground. Why? Because they wanted to see what Luke and Laura was doing. You know, they're cooking some beans, and they're so interested in Luke and Laura and Asa Buchanan and Dorian and Erica that they forgot they had a pot of beans on. House burnt down to the ground. So we cannot allow these types of distractions. I just use that as an example because sometimes when our attention is diverted away from something, it does not return to that until it's too late or until there's a significant amount of damage that has been done. So my brothers and my sisters, we still got to move our dusty self out the way because whether we know it or not, we're still causing distractions. But we have to be aware of those distractions, those snares that Satan is putting out there on a daily basis. Because one thing about it, he's out to prove that you're not who you say you are. May God bless you. May he ever keep you. If I hurt your feelings, then I'm glad. So I'm not going to turn you over back into the hands of Brother Brown. Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. Job well done on part two of this message titled Move Your Dusty Self Out of the Way. So it was something for all of us to consider. And I like how you broke that down about the distractions. You added part two was mainly about the different types of ways that we can be distracted from our purpose of doing what God has called us to do physically. Then you broke it down how we can be distracted physically and mentally, you know, and cause harm to our bodies or to someone else. So we thank you for sharing this awesome, powerful, needed word with us on tonight. From right now, the phone lines are open. Once again, the phone lines are not open. So if there's anyone, if you really appreciated the word on tonight, if you received something from this awesome word on tonight, or if you want to give Dick and Margaret Cox words of encouragement, you do have an opportunity to do so now. The phone lines are open.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Cox?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
You doing all right?
Yes, sir.
It was a wonderful, wonderful message. Wonderful message. You were right about the old distractions. We can't be tricked because we got to keep moving forward. And then that Michael Jackson moonwalking. We can't go back. We got to keep moving forward. No matter what the opportunity comes our way, we can't be tricked by the enemy. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is a fact. Anyone else? The lines are still open.
Yes. That was the awesome message tonight.
Sermon. I really enjoyed it. So keep the topics coming, the coins going, we just love listening to you. Your poems are inspirational, and so are your thoughts. So we just thank God for you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hey, man, that's Sister Essie from Greensboro, North Carolina. Thank you, Aunt Essie. Thank you. Was that Mary Ann that was talking earlier before Aunt Essie came through?
Yeah, it was. That was
a, go ahead. Go ahead, Mary Ann.
Service tonight. I really enjoyed it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I missed it Saturday night, but I was going to make sure I wasn't going to miss it tonight.
Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, you can always go to my show website and pull up from last Saturday night and get caught up. Go back to my website and pull up from last Saturday. Then you get that and then combine it with tonight's lesson and you'll be all caught up.
Okay,
what's the website address? What's the website?
I will text it to you. I'm going to text it to you after we get off the show. I'm going to text it to you.
Well, Mr. Cox, can you text it to Isaiah or me?
Yes, ma'am. I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else?
Yes, I would like to say I enjoyed the message, and I'm asking you for your prayers, and keep praying for me, and I'm going to keep praying for y'all. We just got to learn to pray for each other.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Absolutely. The word of God says the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much. That's why it's
that's
important
right.
that we continue to pray for each other, keep each other encouraged in God's word, and continue to pray ye one for another.
Yes.
Is there anyone else?
Yes. I would like to ask a prayer for my family. My sister lost her husband we funeralized him a week ago, last Friday, and her son, she found him dead this Tuesday of this week. And so I'll be traveling to Alabama again within 2 weeks for two funerals. So please keep the Richardson family and in your prayers, and me and my family as well, the Robinson family.
Amen.
Okay. What's your name, ma'am? What's your last name, ma'am?
Robinson.
Robinson?
Her name is Richardson, Florence Richardson, out of Selma. And her son was named Charlie Zinger. And she found him dead this Tuesday morning. And we just buried her husband. It'll be a week ago this Friday. And now, you know, her son.
We understand. So it's the Richardson and the Robinson family.
Yes, please.
Okay, we'll definitely be praying for both
family.
Of them. And what else?
The Norris, Richardson, and Robinson.
The Norris?
Norris, N-O-R-R-I-S.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Before we go into prayer, is there anyone else that would like to have a word with Deacon Marvin Cox before we go into prayer? Anyone else?
Yeah. Can you hear me, James?
Yes, we can. Pastor King, yes.
Yeah, that poem that Brother Cox, Deacon Cox said, that was a deep poem, brother. I tell you.
Don't blame it on me.
Poem.
Don't blame it on me.
Look,
okay,
I didn't copy that.
Okay, well, I'll get in touch with you, with James, and I'll get your email. It's on the way.
Okay. I appreciate that.
All right. Don't blame it on me.
All right. You know what? God bless you, each all of you all, for coming on the line and giving Deacon Marvin Cox words of encouragement. Before we close, we're close out in prayer. I'm asking our listeners, if you would touch and agree with me in prayer for the Norris family, for the Robinson family, and the Richardson family in their loss. We know that God still is in control, so we're going to lift those families up in prayer right now before we go off the line on tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We are here, are your children, your saints, the believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. We're coming together, touching and agreeing that you are God alone and you're God all by yourself. And we thank you that you have all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We know that you sit high and you look low. And there's nothing that happens that you're not aware of. So now, Heavenly Father, we come lift up the families of the Norris family, the Robinson family, and the Richardson family in the two different losses of loved ones. We lift these families up to you now, Heavenly Father, asking that you will give them the strength to be able to continue to look to the hills from which cometh their help. We know that their hearts are heavy. But you promised that you would not put no more on us than we're able to bear. That's even in the hour of agreement that you are with us, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we feel. We thank you that you are with us. You as a promised people. We ask that you would continue to extend your peace, your joy, your strength, your presence with these families as they continue to go through the hour of agreement. Let them know that they can always continue to look to the hills from which comes their help. All of their help comes from you. So all those family members that are getting ready to travel back down south to this other homegrown service, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would grant them all trusting and grace. They will arrive there safely, then grant them safety and travel to make it back home safely. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to encourage their hearts and strengthen their faith and their hope and trust in you. It's our prayer in Jesus' name that they will continue to give you glory, honor, and praise even as they go through their hour of bereavement. Again, knowing that you make no mistake, that you are still in control. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you to continue to bless this worldwide ministry platform, that it will be everything that you have set out for it to be, that you will continue to get the glory, that souls will continue to be saved, that Christ will continue to be able to come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be able to continue to be strengthened and built up and edified through your word. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well,
amen.
I always say, know that I love you all. Guess what? God loves you even more. So we are going to encourage one another to keep each other lifted up in prayer, continue to encourage one another in God's word, not with your feelings, not with your opinions, but with God's word. And then sometimes we just have to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So I pray that God will continue to bless each one of you, and I pray that you will be able to tune in on this coming Saturday night and hear another word from the Lord. Until this coming Saturday night, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night, each and every one of you.
Good night.